Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. All these different social divisions are born with their occupational duties and living conditions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, for unconditional life and self-realization, one has to worship the Supreme Lord under the direction of the Spiritual Master. Purport. Since they are born from different parts of the body of the Supreme Lord in His gigantic form, all living entities in all parts of the entire universe are supposed to be eternal servitors of the Supreme Body. Every part of our own body, such as the mouth, hands, thighs, and legs, is meant to render service to the whole. That is their constitutional position. In subhuman life, the living entities are not conscious of this constitutional position. But in the human form of life, they are supposed to know this through the system of the varnas, the social orders. As above mentioned, the Brahmana is the spiritual master of all the orders of society, and thus Brahminical culture, culminating the transcendental service of the Lord, is the basic principle for purifying the soul. In conditioned life, the soul is under the impression that he can become the Lord of the universe, and the last point of this misconception is to think oneself the Supreme. The foolish, conditioned soul does not take into account that the Supreme cannot be conditioned by Maya or illusion. If the Supreme were to become conditioned by illusion, where would be His supremacy? In that case, Maya or illusion would be the Supreme. Therefore, because the living entities are conditioned, they cannot be Supreme. The actual position of the conditioned soul is explained in this verse. All the conditioned souls are impure due to contact with the material energy and the three modes of nature. Therefore, it is necessary that they purify themselves under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, who not only is a Brahmana by qualification, but must also be a Vaishnava. The only self-purifying process mentioned herein is to worship the Lord under the recognized method, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. That is the natural way of purification, and no other method is recommended as bona fide. The other methods of purification may be helpful to come to this stage of life, but ultimately, one has to come to this last point before he attains actual perfection. Bhagavad Gita 7.19 confirms this truth as follows. Bahunam janmanam mante jnanavanmam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. Om agyanati mirandhasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamahyam tadati svapadantikam nama om vishnu padaya krishna prestaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swamini tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishri Namaha Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagadidhaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I beg forgiveness for there are much more qualified devotees here today, so please be kind. I hope I can serve you today to the best of my ability, to everyone who is here. So this verse speaks about the different social divisions. Well, let me ask a question, first of all. Who lives here or nearby? Most of you. Is anybody's first time here? First, second time, couple of time? Nice. Welcome. But not first time to a temple, no? Yes. Okay. So I think most of us are familiar what this topic is, but we still like to recap, because this verse is somewhat of a conclusion verse. The previous verses have been talking about each social division of the Varnashram Dharma. So Varna and Ashram are different categories which society is divided. The Varna is one's means of livelihood or occupational duty, and the Ashrams are the lifestyles. So the social divisions are Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, which is a topic which comes again and again in Bhagavatam, in all the scriptures, in Srila Prabhupada's lectures. So I guess it's important for us to hear about this. But perhaps most important is this verse, which mentions the reason of its value. So here says, all these different social divisions are born with their occupational duties and living conditions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what makes it relevant. It's not just a caste system, how it has become in India, where it is something more of a birthright. Actually, the way Krishna did it, it's not based on birth, but it's based on guna karma, which means on qualification and occupational duty. Like even Prabhupada says here in the purport, one should take shelter for a spiritual master who's not only a brahmana by qualification. Prabhupada made it very clear, because there's no such thing as brahman by birth. That never was, actually, because Prabhupada explained in many purports in this chapter that it was always observed what kind of inclination did that person have. Were they more studious? Were they more military-like? Were they very good at organizing? Were they good at sales? And that was their role. And that is interesting, because understanding the Varnas and accepting them is also accepting our God-given nature. Because that's the idea, this is God-given. Even our conditioning is God-given. So honoring our conditioning is also important. That's why here says, swadharmena, your one's own occupational duty. And Krishna speaks a lot about this in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, there are two verses in the Gita which are repeated, like exactly the same. And that's a very relevant thing, because usually, yeah, scriptures don't repeat themselves just because they have run out of ideas or run out of verses, you know. So if Krishna said the same verse, that means it's really important. And this verse on occupational duties, it is better to do your duty imperfectly than another's perfectly. Following another path is very dangerous, another's path. And he says that in a similar way, in the beginning and in the end. So it is very nice, I feel, to be just understanding, like, okay, it's not just material nature, but it's Krishna's also. That's why Krishna calls material nature Daivihyesha Gunamayi. It's my divine material energy constituted of the three modes of material nature. So this chapter about creation really is trying to help us tie everything in creation with God. And it's a really important practice. And I see Prabhupada pointed out in the purport a lot about, not a lot, but something about Mayavadi philosophy. And yeah, I think I over-prepared for this class. But we're going to try to speak about, the creation, the purpose of the creation, the Mayavadi philosophy, and a little bit about the Varnas. So just following that thought line, which has been created about the creation, the Mayavadi philosophy, like what's the connection? So Mayavadis, what happens? They are mostly seeing Maya as supreme. That's why they are called Mayavadis, because they think Maya is supreme, like how Prabhupada says here in the purport. So he says that if the conditioned soul were to be God, that means that God can be covered by illusion, which means illusion is supreme. So that's why they're called Mayavadi, because their theory is based on the supremacy of the illusory energy. So everybody is God, we just have to remember that we are, right? But the interesting thing is that it sounds like, oh, this is so silly, who thinks like that? Well, you'd be surprised. Maybe many of us think like that, actually. That's why Prabhupada says the foolish living entity is thinking that he can be supreme. We think that all the time. They're going to discover me. One day they will realize, you know. Like there's some artists, even in my family, that they just say something funny like, I don't want to like raise up to fame. I want to be discovered. You know, I want people to just like, wow, this lost talent was here, you know. What were we doing? So everybody wants that kind of prestige. But it's part of our illusion, isn't it? That's why Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra, it's Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Srila Prabhupada came specially for the Nirvisheshas and Shunyavadis. He came to remove Nirvishesha, which means impersonalism. Nir means no, and Vishesha means qualities. So Nirvishesha means those without quality, so people who think that spirituality has no variety, and Shunyavadi. Shunya means zero in Sanskrit. So those who think that everything is nothing in the end, or atheists. So Prabhupada came to deliver those people. So have you been delivered by Prabhupada? Have you been helped by Prabhupada? So perhaps you were in this category. Hence, when Prabhupada used to speak, not Prabhupada, I've heard that some devotees were questioning during the early days of Srila Prabhupada. Someone can know better, can correct me. But I've heard this. And they have said, Prabhupada, you speak so much about these Mayavadis. But where are they? Aren't they in India somewhere, in some ashram? Why you speak about them in every second purport? And then Prabhupada said, you are the Mayavadis. Right? Because somehow or other we have come to believe that we can become God, that Maya is supreme, and that God is not a person. That's our big disease. We don't like to give personal features to God. Because if God is a person, wow, that means that I must have some relation with him. I must have some responsibility with him. So much so that this topic of creationism is actually how the academics call it, creationism. Every religion has an aspect of creationism, which means its theory is description of how the world was created. And it's always from a divine being who has no other source and is the source of everything. And that's not the modern scientific view, but that's always the theistic view. And that's such an important point, because I came to reflect, like, why creation is spoken so much? It's such a big topic in the Bhagavatam. There are like 10 main topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and creation repeats itself a few times, so much so that the third canto is called Status Quo, so it speaks about the world and about creation. The first canto is like primary creation, second canto is secondary creation, and we're still talking about creation in the third canto. So when I was younger, I was like, oh my God, what's going on with so much creation? Like in Gurukul, I used to study in a traditional school of Krishna conscious children and philosophy. And there we learned about creation at least twice a year. We were going through all the steps and the elements and also the avatars of Vishnu, how Krishna expands into different forms. And it's Actually, I value it now because it's so broad and spread out, and if you don't put it in some kind of, you know, sheet or model, it's hard to grasp. But it's relevant, and I can see more today that the relevance is understanding the connection with everything with Krishna, and that is a remedy in itself for Mayavad philosophy, because it's not just random things going on, but it's all from one intelligent design. Right? That's a very nice way to put it also, creation. Intelligent design, which means there's a purpose. Everything, there's a purpose. So there comes, there the question comes, do I have a purpose? I'm also part of creation, aren't I? So I must have a purpose. And the person who created everything must have given me a purpose as well. So, yes. So then now we come to the point of identity. Who are we? In the ball game of creation, who are we in relation to God? And that relationship with God is very important, because this relationship with God is what will bring us to perfection in Krishna consciousness. Because for so many long years, we have been connected with material energy. Like Krishna says, with the all the living entities are impure, because we have been associating with matter for so long. The three modes of material nature. So we need to become purified. And just as we became contaminated by bad association, we can become purified by good association. So what association do we need? The best association is of devotees, but especially pure devotees, especially the spiritual master. Hence this chapter says, this verse says, thus, for unconditional life and self-realization has to worship the Supreme Lord under the direction of the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master already has an established relationship with Krishna. So we need that. So Krishna is a very personal God. Thank God, Krishna is Krishna. You know, Udayananda Maharaj, not sure if you have heard, he's a Prabhupada disciple, and he did many of the purports from the 10th canto onwards. He says, he said something like that in a humorous mood. He's like, thank God that Krishna's God. He's like, you know, because Krishna's so cool. And it's his, you know, he's actually a person with lots of unique desires and tastes. He wears a peacock feather, not another feather on his hair. Right? He likes a yellow dhoti. These are personal choices. So you have a very personal God that wants to develop a personal relationship with each and every one of us. So the way to approach God is not like just knocking on his door and like, hey, here I am. No. We have forgotten the Lord for many years. That's so long that the conditioned soul is called Nitya Bada, or eternally conditioned. The word eternal is used because there is no way to estimate how long we have been here. So we call it eternal, eternally conditioned. So we have forgotten Krishna for so long. And since it's a personal relationship, you cannot just turn up and be like, accept me now. It's like, you know, Krishna is definitely open arms, but we need to correct our mindset. You know, we need to come to Krishna in a humble mood, because that's to be an honest and appropriate approach. And Krishna likes to be approached through those who are already close to him, through his pure devotees, those whom he trusts. Because the spiritual world is made of love, all loving, pure relations with Krishna. And that love is based on eternal, unlimited trust as well. So the spiritual master is a trustworthy servant of Krishna. And when we serve the spiritual master, who is very close to Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani is Krishna's internal potency, who is responsible for all the spiritual activities and for bhakti. Srimati Radharani specially empowers the spiritual master with something called Hladini Shakti. Hladini Shakti is the pleasure-giving potency of Krishna, which is responsible for making us blissful in Krishna consciousness. When you serve Krishna, we offer him a flower, we sing for him, we dance for him, we give a lecture, we listen to it, we feel this bliss. Like, what's going on? Well, this is bhakti. And this special flavor is called Ladini Shakti, which is Srimati Radharani's special potency. So she gives this potency to the spiritual master. Srimati Radharani is Adiguru, the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master has the Halini Shakti, which means he has the Bhakti Shakti, the power to connect us and to teach us, train us on the path of Bhakti. So some people might wonder, but isn't Bhakti natural? Isn't it already in the heart? Why do we have to be trained? Why didn't I know this already? There could be such questions. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita says very clearly in a famous verse, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Koroye Udai. He says that Krishna Prem, pure love of Godhead, is eternally situated, established in the heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai. It's always there. But it's dormant. It's sleeping. But Shravanadi, by hearing, Adi and others, by hearing and chanting, we are watering this plant of bhakti. We are awakening this Krishna consciousness. Shravanadi, Shuddha Chitti. Our consciousness can become purified again. Koroye Udai. And this love of Godhead will rise again. So we are in the process of taking out the dirt. We have suffering from cataracts, spiritual cataracts. We look at the deities, we hear the holy name. We are sick, you know, we cannot tell, we cannot perceive. It's just been too long with material energy. But the spiritual master, the devotees, the process is there to help clean our eyes, clean our ears. And we should not become discouraged by our diseased condition, by our absence or our lack of taste sometimes, or lack of perception of Krishna consciousness. Because just like a child who starts to learn how to walk, it will fall sometimes. It will start crawling, and then it will fall, and it will start again. Nobody says, oh, it's never going to walk. No, who would say that, right? The potency to walk is in every child. But it needs to be practiced a little bit. So this Krishna consciousness is just awakening the natural propensity of the soul. That's why Prabhupada says here very nicely in the beginning of the purport. He says, since they are born, these social divisions, they are born from different parts of the body of the Supreme Lord in a gigantic form, all living entities in all parts of the entire universe, Prabhupada is really globalizing this point, all living entities in all parts of the entire universe are supposed to be eternal servants of the Supreme Body. So this eternal servitude to Krishna, that is our constitutional position. Lord Chaitanya also says that to Sanatana Goswami, I believe, Jivera Swarupa Hoi Krishneira Nitya Das, that the Swarup, the real identity of the soul is Krishneira Nitya Das. It's an eternal servant of Krishna. So this is our Sanatana Dharma, our eternal occupational duty. When you speak of Varanashram Dharma, this is our material occupational duty, which is also relevant. It's called Swadharma, which is born of your own nature. So all of us are our own mix of the modes of nature. Some of us are going to be more intellectual. Some are going to be more service-oriented. So this is one kind of duty, which is also good to, like we spoke in the beginning, to connect to. Because if you follow your nature, you'll be more peaceful. It is a good tip for a more balanced life. Just don't try to reinvent the wheel. You know, you already have some talents, some skills. Just go that way and trust that this is your God-given nature, so it has to work. You know, you just go that way. Don't try to be someone else, you know, or some other, fulfill others' expectations. But that is not the end, because we're not the body, right? We have the body as a vehicle. And the body has to be well engaged because the body is our sadhana sharira. It's our vehicle for spiritual practice. So sadhana means spiritual practice and sharira is sadhana sharira. Yeah. And the body is that the place where we inhabit and we can perform bhakti. So the body has to be also taken care of. Well nourished, sleeping enough, exercise, you know, meditating, doing our nature. And so that, but that's not the end, just material well-being, right? Material well-being is a nice platform for spiritual well-being, which is fulfilled when we engage in devotional service. And even in devotional service, we are going to be inclined to services according to our nature. Some devotees are more in the background. Some devotees are more in the forefront. And they have to follow that as well. And then they also be happy in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness, lifelong journey. And these are some of the main points. I think Prabhupada also mentions in the end here that the only self-purifying process mentioned herein is to worship the Lord under the recognized method, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. And that cannot be underestimated. The spiritual master is key to our Krishna consciousness. So much so that in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the Nectar of Devotion, is a wonderful book about all the main practices of devotional service. So if you want to understand more about how Bhakti works, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is an indispensable book, because there we speak about everything, not about creation, not about the avatars, just straight to the point of what is really Bhakti all about. And in that Nectar of Devotion, there are 64 items of devotional service. And the top 10 items, out of them, 5 are only about connecting with the spiritual master. So they are like the top 5, and there are 5 of the top 10 as well. So it is really important because, again, the spiritual master is our link to Krishna. So Krishna likes to be approached by those whom he trusts. And we have a chain of trust, a chain of love called the disciplic succession. And by following that, we can grasp, we can receive the pure thing, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, or Krishna consciousness as it is. And that's very, very special. Especially in the age of Kali, where everything has been diluted, everything is mixed, everything is impure. Jai. Jai Shri Kulananda Ki Jai. Even we are not fully Brahmanas or fully Kshatriyas or fully... we are a mix of everything. But at least Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada coined this term, unalloyed devotional service. And I've heard that one of Prabhupada's American disciples, or maybe English, whose English was the first language, they were noticing how interesting was the use of word unalloyed, which is usually used by smiths and people who melt metals and things. So he said, it's unalloyed, it's not mixed with anything else. That's what we're looking for, that kind of bhakti, uttama bhakti. Uttama bhakti, what is the verse like? Krishna anushilanam. Yeah. So, yeah. If there are any comments or questions, you can feel free to prepare in your mind or ask. I'm just concluding here. So coming back to the spiritual master. So the spiritual master gives us something which is like, apart from bhakti and the shakti and everything, the spiritual master gives us something called sambandha, which is our eternal relationship with Krishna. Sambandha gyan, the knowledge of how to connect to the Supreme Lord. That is one of the greatest gifts of the spiritual master. And that's what we should try to receive from him. Sambandha gyan. Because sambandha gyan, the knowledge of who we are, who is Krishna, how to connect with him. It's not just hearing the information that you can find anywhere. But when the spiritual master passes on to you, it's something that goes in the heart because he has realized it. So we need to hear. So Krishna consciousness is not an automatic process. Like here it says, Shraddhayatma. If you do this with faith and devotion, that's a very necessary quality. With faith and devotion, you open your heart. Then you receive something very powerful. You receive that realization, the realized knowledge of who we are and who Krishna is. So because we have been attached for so long with the material world, with this creations and dissolution of creation of the world, we have been connected to material nature for so long. And we don't even know anymore what it's like not to think that you are the body or the mind. So we have been badly associated. But that's the illusory bond we have with Maya. So we need to break this bond and reestablish bond with Krishna. And that's so important because we are relational beings. We always see ourselves in relation. Oh, it's my mother, my country. I belong to that category. I have this kind of ethnical background. I speak this language. We like to identify. It's part of our nature to be individual entities. So unless we fulfill these needs with our spiritual designations, you remain attached to our material designations. So, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktiruchati, right? This verse speaks that Sarvapadi Venirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktiruchati. So, there's a description of bhakti. What is bhakti? Bhakti Uchate Sarvapadi Venirmuktam. You're completely free from Sarvapadi, all these material designations of body, mind, and nation. You are free from that. Sarvapadi, vinirmuktam, completely free. And then you are sarvapadi, vinir, tatparatvena, nirmalam. Again, very pure in attitude. Then you serve the Lord of the senses with your senses. That's called bhakti. So if you are free from material designation, that means you must be filled with spiritual designation. So this is what the Guru gives us. That's what Prabhupada is giving us. That's what the whole point of the spiritual practice is about. But if we don't consciously make the effort to be like, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is my eternal master. Let me start chanting for him. It's my Krishna. It's not just Krishna. No, it's my Krishna. It's our Lord. It's our Prabhupada. This makes everything very different. But if we keep God as a foreign, far away concept, then we're going to fall in our tendency of Mayavadi, of illusionary, impersonalistic view. Oh, God is just someone far away, very powerful, unrelatable, nothing to do with me. And we have that tendency to think like that. So we need to be very aware of this. Otherwise, we will practice Krishna consciousness, but we won't get the full benefit of Krishna consciousness because we won't be connecting with Krishna in our practice. That's why they're such an important practice. I'm sure if you ever heard the book, The Living Name. It's a book written by Satchidananda Maharaj. And there's a whole section just about Sambandha, just about establishing your connection with Krishna. And he says that you should try to practice this in your japa, especially, and in kirtan. Before you start, you just stop for a moment and be like, I'm an eternal spirit soul. I'm categorically different from my body and my mind. Krishna is the supreme truth and my only loving master. This chanting is my service to Krishna. And then you start chanting. That will save you from automatic japa. And every time your japa falls into automatic mode, you're like, wait a second. Let's go back and remember, who am I chanting for? And this person is not just a sound, a void, but it's Krishna. And as soon as he's called upon, he's there. Krishna is there in his holy name. So you cannot forget that, even though we cannot see him, just like the sun. The sun is in the sky most of the time, all day, even in England. But it's often covered by the clouds, isn't it? Does that mean the sun is not in the sky? The sun is in the sky. But the clouds have impaired our vision of the sun. So in the same way, our material contamination, perhaps offenses we could have made in the past or in this life, sinful desires, all these, they are just like clouds and they block the sky of Krishna consciousness. So it's not that the sun is any less powerful. The sun is shining with same strength, but in some places it's covered by the clouds. So it appears like there's no sun. So we need to try to get rid of those clouds and to feel the warmth and light of the sun of Krishna, the sun of the holy name. And that's why we need to associate with devotees and try to remember who we actually are. And it's not a point to ever be underestimated. That's why Prabhupada says it again and again. We're not these bodies. We're not these bodies. We are eternal spirit souls. So I've been hearing this all my life in Krishna consciousness, but it's only from a few years that I'm like, actually, I'm not really thinking about this point.
has just become like, it's just going over my head. And I'm not, and then when I apply, I'm like, wow, that was so different, that japa. Oh my God, that arati, that boat distribution, that was so different. Just when I just decided to become conscious of my identity. And it's all about becoming conscious. Because we are in the movement of Krishna consciousness, which means it's all going to happen here. We have a lot of ritual and a lot of structure, which is very important, but it's all meant to help you become Krishna conscious. So unless we actually become aware of where is my consciousness now, then we're not benefiting from the process. So the spiritual master gives us this Sambandha Gyan, our eternal connection with Krishna. And by chanting Sambandha Gyan, by chanting with understanding of who Krishna is and who the soul is, our relationship with Krishna, then we open the gates for the pure chanting of the holy name. And that is interestingly, I mean, to me it was, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it is one of the distinguishing features of the pure chanting and the impure chanting of the holy name. It is this Sambandha Gyan, this knowledge of relationship of the soul with Krishna. When you're not aware of that, you're chanting Namabhas, max, best, shadow chanting of the holy name, which is still has lots of benefits, even liberation. But Krishna Prem, we won't get from Namabhas. We only get that from the pure chanting of the holy name, which is based on Sambandha Gyan, or this understanding of who is Krishna and who am I and what's my relationship with him. So I hope this has been a service to you, and thank you. If you have any comments or corrections or questions, I'd be happy to be here for that.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo.
I think one of the most wonderful things about Krishna consciousness is that we have a personal God. You know, these so many qualities of Krishna. You were talking about nectar of devotion, and even there it's given. But I was also thinking, you know, we are also very sensual. We're also very attached. And so we can look at, okay, this is this form of Krishna, wonderful Krishna in Vrindavan. And so I'm wondering, how can we have a personal relationship with Krishna without becoming like overly familiar? Because we also still are conditioned, you know? So I guess that's my question, you know? He's very wonderful and our ego can hold on to that. So without causing offense or without, you know, being overly familiar like that.
Thank you. I don't know if I am the best person to answer your question. I think there is no such thing as overly familiar with Krishna. I think from what I've heard from spiritual master and others is that this, actually I wanted to mention this today, but I didn't mention, now that you said that, this point is called of belonging to Krishna. It's called mamatva, of mindness. There's no better translation in English. But this sense of mindness, my Krishna, this is so important. This is actually what we are aiming for. Because this is Raganuga Bhakti. This is spontaneous devotional service in the spiritual world. Nobody sees Krishna as some in any kind of distant way. That's Vaikuntha. If you don't want to become overly familiar with Krishna, that is the realm of the Vaikuntha world. Nobody there is overly familiar with Krishna. Krishna is supreme, absolute truth. He's beautiful, powerful, gorgeous, and we are perfectly, harmoniously serving him. But if you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, it's all about very deep belonging and very intimate familiarity. That's why there is the concept of Ishtadeva in Krishna consciousness, where we are become attached to a specific form of Krishna. Is it Krishna in Vrindavan, your Lord? Or is it Krishna in Dwaraka? Or is it maybe Lord Ram? Like, for example, we see in our Vaishnava line, Rupa Goswami, there are three brothers, Rupa, Sanatan, and Anupam. Anupam was the youngest brother of Rupa and Sanatan. And Anupam was a very strong devotee of Lord Ram. From what I remember, you can correct me, but that's what I've remembered from reading. But Rupa and Sanatan are clearly Radha Krishna Bhaktas. But Anupam was also following the same, but something was disturbing him. He was feeling very bothered, and he was just like, I can't. I can't do this. My Lord is Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra. Like, I must listen to Ramkatha. And, you know, this, he is my Lord. Sitaram is everything to me. He had, like, the mood of Hanuman. So that's perfect. Because that's his Lord. And him being completely true to that. That's his perfection. You know? So there's no such thing. I mean, we should be respectful, of course. I mean, respect. So, see, we are trying to develop love of Godhead. So with love, respect comes naturally. So we should not be afraid to become disrespectful. We only become disrespectful if we don't have love, which is the situation. So it's not about, oh, how can I overstep? How can I not overstep the boundary and become too familiar with Krishna? It's more like, how can I develop more love for Krishna? And with more love, there will be natural respect, but then familiarity will also come. And that's actually very wonderful. And that's my take. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Thank you so much for the class. You were mentioning before, and you quoted the verse, how Krishna prema is dormant within the heart, and it's a matter of just awakening that. And I was thinking, it seems like a very difficult cookie to crack. Like, Krishna prema is there in the heart, and we have the process, and sometimes we've been practicing for a long time. And I've even spoken to a lot of devotees, senior devotees, who've been practicing for quite a while. And obviously I'm generalizing here, and maybe they're just too humble to admit, but it seems like a very far off goal to reach, and too many people are still, I don't know, getting it wrong in one sense, or maybe we're just doing something wrong, and it seems like a very difficult place to reach. And so my question is, I guess, that is it, what is it that we're doing wrong, all of us as a group, as a whole, you know, all of us in Krishna consciousness, I don't know, or does it come in like stages? You get a little bit and a little bit more, or is it like an aha moment? Yes, I got it. You know, Krishna prema. Or
yeah, that's what it feels like.
How do you know you got it? Is it like when you have it? Are you like, yes, I got it now. I got Krishna prema, or I don't know how it works. So, just I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah. Well, we can only speak as far as what I've heard. From Srila Prabhupada. This is, of course, beyond my experience achieving Krishna prema. But yeah, you're right. This is actually no small topic because, yeah, many devotees have even left the movement because of such contradictions or difficulties to understand, like this point about Krishna consciousness being dormant or not, and many other points about the jiva following or not. These are topics which can lead to great doubt, right? So it is, we have to be cautious with this kind of doubts, because they are scraping on the achintya aspect of Krishna consciousness, which means the inconceivable aspect of Krishna consciousness. And if you go try too hard to understand inconceivable, you're going to try to find answers, but it might not be the bona fide answers. So it's, so that's something which I become aware of. Like, okay, I won't understand everything with my intellect, but I have to know that I'm very limited. And Krishna consciousness is achintya. So this aspect about bhakti being inherent, it is interesting. And I've heard it explained in a different way. Maybe it can help you. It helped me. I heard from my spiritual master that bhakti is inherent in the heart. It's almost like a socket. He didn't say this, but I'm just trying to understand. Explain the way I understood it. It's like a socket hole. It's like only certain kind of plug can fit there, and the whole capacity to transmit the energy is there, but it cannot be activated on its own. The spiritual master carries that seed, carries that current of bhakti. So everybody has that potency, but unless it is plugged in, unless it's given to you, you won't access it. So bhakti is there in the sense that it's you have a complete capacity for bhakti and you're born for it, you know. But the spiritual master has to bring, you have to receive bhakti from a bhakta. Bhakti comes from a bhakta. Devotion comes from a devotee. That's why he said, what is it? Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadipai Bhakti Lata Beach. the living entity wanders in the material universe, wanders and wanders until he receives, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, the seed of bhakti. So we need to receive that from Guru and Krishna to awaken our Krishna consciousness. So then it's like it's inherited, but it comes from Guru. It's already inconceivable, just there already. But yeah, we know there are stages of Krishna consciousness, and we have to be. One thing I've also heard from Guru is that it's good to have another look at the offenses in the nectar of devotion. There's a big list of aparadhas as well. I think 64 also. You should know better, yeah? There are many offenses against deity worship and devotional service, the Vaishnavas, the Holy Dham, and we might be doing them unconsciously. And offenses, they are the biggest culprit in our progress in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, because Krishna consciousness can burn away sinful desires, or sinful desire, sin is like the first thing that's burned away in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he speaks about the 9 stages of devotional service in the Madhurya Kadambini. And there he speaks about the kind of purity that it gives. So the first level, sin goes away in karma. Then you have anarthas. Anarthas take much longer. It's like up to nishta or bhava. And then aparada, offense, it's like there, even in Dimbhava, you know, it's the last contamination, it's our very subtle offense against Krishna. So I've heard the story of a devotee struggling with a certain addiction or some sinful thing, and they're just in their many years in Krishna consciousness, and they asked this guru, and he says, it's not working for me, like I just can't stop doing this, like what do I do? And he said, go to that list of aparadhas and just take another look and see if you're doing any of that. And he was like, you're kidding me. You think? He got a little offended, actually, when he said to go. But he did it anyways. After a few months, he came back and he said, actually, I found something. I corrected it. And I'm over that bad habit. So it could all be some kind of offense. So that's why devotees are very humble. They're very aware of what they're doing. And they know that if Krishna consciousness has not sprouted yet, it must be because the heart has a lot of offenses. That's what Shukadev Goswami says, that Krishna consciousness, the pillar of Krishna is so powerful that it can melt the heart. But some hearts are made of stone. That's why so many Vaishnava songs from the acharyas, they speak like, Krishna, you're so kind, you're so amazing, everything's here, but my heart is made of stone. You know, please melt my heart. So we really need to stretch out to Krishna. It's not like some kind of equation that we have to crack. It's really not. So unless we go into that mood, it's really about humility, Trinadapi, the way back to Godhead, from what I've heard. But this is my limited capacity to answer your deep question. So I hope it helps. Thank you, Prabhu. Is it time to close? Yeah? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Tai Gaura Premanande. Hari Hari Bhagavatam.